Hey guys, you're listening to the Bon Appetit Foodcast. I'm Adam Rappaport. Now, if you're a parent, any day now, your kids are going to be getting out of school and you're probably thinking, what the heck am I going to do with them? What am I going to feed them? Can I get them to eat healthy this summer? How many times a day am I allowed to give them ice cream? To discuss all these important topics, we convened a parent roundtable. We got Carla Lolly Music, food director here at Bon Appetit, talking about her sons, Cosmo and Leo. Jenny Rosenstrack, author of Dinner, A Love Story, a hugely popular family cooking blog, along with the column in Bon Appetit, The Providers, which she co-authors with her husband, Andy Ward, both of whom are parents to Phoebe and Abby. And then finally, me, Adam, and talking about my son, Marlon. But first up, Joe House. And you're probably wondering, who the heck is Joe House? Which is exactly what I was wondering. Joe is a frequent guest on the Bill Simmons podcast. Bill Simmons, he of the new website, The Ringer. And House is this guy who comes on once a week, and he and Bill talk basketball and other stuff. And I kept on hearing House, and I'm like, who is this guy? And then I realized he's from Washington, D.C., which is where I grew up. And then I realized that he's like extremely into food. And then I also found out that he's like kind of grew up in the 80s when I grew up in D.C., same age, was into the whole punk rock scene there and everything. So I was just like, I need to meet this House fellow. So I emailed him and he came up to New York and we did a little podcast. So let's do this thing. Here's me and Joe House. All right, House, we are here.
Hey, Rap, I got to tell you, it's a beautiful day here in the New York City. And days like this, when I'm walking around outside, I only have one reaction, and that is, how am I not on the golf course right now?
But you're on a podcast.
So I am on a podcast.
It's kind of the next best thing. And all right, so the question is, all right, so I know you through the Bill Simmons podcast sort of network, and that's all I know about you. And you're this guy, House, who comes on Bill's show and millions of people listen to and frequently. And you talk basketball and stuff. And you're from Washington, D.C., where I'm from. And my friend Jason Gay from the Wall Street Journal said, you should have that guy, House, on one time. And I'm like, well, that's crazy. I would have Bill on one time because he's like famous.
Right.
Who is this House guy?
Who is House?
Yeah, who is House? And then one episode, you're talking to Bill and you were talking NBA playoffs. And you were mentioning, I don't know if it was a Thunder game or a Warriors game, a late night West Coast game. You come home in D.C. You said, yeah, I got home around 11:45. The game was on, so I decided to make myself a chicken.
I did say that. That is true, and I did do that.
So you got home at 11:45 and you decided to roast yourself a chicken.
I did. Now, I had a little bit of a head start. It had already been kind of prepared. It just needed to go in the oven.
What does that mean?
The brine and everything was all, it was all set. It just needed to be slid in. And it wasn't intended for 11:45 in the evening that evening. It was intended for another day's meal later in the week. But yeah,
what were you brining it in? Like a wet brine or dry brine?
It was a wet brine. Yeah, a little bit of buttermilk and a little, obviously, salt and pepper. Very, very simple kind
Anything
of a brine.
Anything spicy vibe. Or?
I do the spice, so I'm a huge Frank's guy.
Oh, Frank's hot sauce.
Yeah, Frank's hot sauce. So I like it like a very straightforward salt and pepper. The buttermilk softens it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, the hot sauce to taste, as it were.
And so you just had this, you were planning it for dinner for another night?
Right, it was another night's dinner.
I do personally believe that sports and food go very tightly together, whether you're at the stadium, or arena. And now, they got Shake Shack and everything at every stadium in the country now. Or you're at home. Food is as much of the game as the game is. And I have friends who gather for the Patriots games every week.
Sure.
From friends here in New York or big Boston guys. And every week is like another menu to conquer, which is pretty cool.
Terrific.
But I do wonder if sometimes does it pull the focus from the game. So one time my friend Gabe and Rick, and one time they're like, we're making homemade ramen. And I'm like, that's awesome and that's insane.
Aggressive.
And Gabe like spent 3 days doing the pork broth, got the noodles from Sun Noodles, did the 6-minute eggs, had a whole like condiment bar set out with all the little radish. Kimchi, full on.
I mean, it's almost a reason for me to want to watch a Patriots game.
I know. You basically root for Tom. So, but I do wonder, I was like, I don't even remember what game that was or what the score was.
Who cares?
I do remember the ramen.
Of course. Who cares?
But if you're a Patriots fan, is that almost disrespectful to the game if you're paying more attention to the food than the game?
No.
Absolutely not.
So you're all right.
Yeah. Everybody knows my bias in this regard. The food is the king. I mean, you know, the football game's going to go how it's going to go. You're going to be, if you're a Patriots fan, you're going to be most likely happy with the outcome these last 10 years.
I will say this. Watching games with Gabe and Rick and the gang, it's like it's kind of nice when you're always rooting for the team that wins almost
sure,
all the time.
Sure, yeah,
it's a happy household.
Fine. Yeah,
you know?
right.
All right. Well, how do you know Simmons? How'd you get into sports? How'd you get into food?
Yeah. So I grew up right outside of Washington D.C. And went to college at the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. Mm. And my sophomore year, Simmons arrived he was a freshman and I was a sophomore. And he was two doors down from me. And we hit it off pretty quickly on two things. We both have a shared love of basketball. And I'm not sure whether it's all that impressive. We both like to eat a lot. I was at a stage in my life when I could eat more. And so sometimes
metabolism was.
Yes. So we would go play basketball for 2 hours in the field house. And then, you know, end of the game, jump in the car, didn't matter what time of day or night. And we would head over to, there was a barbecue place called Fat Dickies.
Fat Dickies, I like that. What was your order?
The biggest platter that they offered. It was a platter with that had ribs, it had chicken, it had pulled pork, it had brisket. I mean, you know.
Hot links? Did it have the links?
It didn't have links. No, it was links. This is Worcester.
Worcester, yeah.
In the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, right. Kreutzer's sausages jumping on
there. What were the sides?
The beans. There was some macaroni and cheese was in the mix. I can't remember much beyond that. So maybe coleslaw was in there.
All right, so then food, because there's a difference between eating food late night in college, like all of us did,
yes,
and actually learning to cook and cooking for yourself. When did you get into cooking?
Pretty early on. I have a mom that's half Irish, half Italian, but she did a lot of cooking for her Italian father. So early in my life, I had exposure to like really rich eggplant parmesan, and we would go to A. Letteri's, which is this Italian market over in now a portion of the city. It's in Northeast D.C. Mm-hmm. We would go every Sunday to go buy ingredients for her to cook with her mom, who passed away when I was really young, but to cook kind of a Sunday meal for her father and the group of us. And Letteri's is still there to its credit. I'm very happy that they survived, because that portion of the city has seen a real revival in D.C. now that the Union Market is a destination.
Not when you and I were growing up.
No. It was like it was when we were growing up, a wholesaler. It was a place where people would come to buy, you know, wholesale meats and produce. I'm not a sophisticated cook by any stretch. I don't want to overstate this. I'm a guy who likes to experiment a little bit. I really love the chemistry of cooking. Mm. I've been trying to make an olive oil-based roux for a gumbo kind of thing.
And so the idea being what there?
Well, in the first place, my kid is allergic to dairy and eggs.
Oh, so, okay. And so you have a five-year-old.
I have a five-year-old, And so there's a little bit of innovation that's required there, right? We don't I can't do cooking where eggs are flying around and butter's flying around and milk's flying around.
Well, so, I mean, roux is just fat and flour,
right?
So the olive oil should work, right?
Yes. So that's precisely the gig, getting the ratios
So if you understand what the components are, you can sub one for the other.
Yes, and I try and get a little bit of a texture in through tomato paste, and I've been adding some heat into it by way of like habanero again.
And wait, will your five-year-old actually eat the gumbo?
No. This is not for him.
So you just can't have that stuff in the house, you're saying.
Right, I can't have the dairy in the house for him. Right, because like we try and maintain our whole like cooking setup pretty much like dairy-free.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but you know. We're sensitive to it, you know. He'll grow out of it, hopefully. Everybody says, I'm going to knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Yeah. All right, so then, like, do you go to a lot of games? Are you a stadium food sort of guy?
I go to baseball more than anything else because of how conducive it is to socialize and how conducive it is to eat. So I love basketball, and I love professional basketball especially, but there's nothing particularly appealing, or, you know, it's not an extra motivation to go to see a Wizards game and because they have Chick-fil-A walking around in the corridors, you know.
It's also like, I mean, like the pro basketball, unless it's the playoffs, I mean, it's not like going to a baseball game in the middle of the season game on a night in July is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Do a middle of the season game at whatever arena is near you on a Tuesday night. It's kind of like, okay.
I feel like baseball has gotten really good about getting people to come and to stay for the sort of experience of it, independent of how you might feel about the game.
Yeah.
So, our buddy Simmons was, he was up here. He was on with Francesa. Mike Francesa a couple weeks ago. And Bud Selig came on as a guest. And Bill asked Bud, you know, in your experience as commissioner, how did you think about trying to get young people interested in the game? How did you think about trying to keep the game from becoming sort of purely of regional interest until the playoffs started? And, you know, part of what was informing that question is like how irrelevant baseball has become to generations behind you and I. Like baseball was super important when I was growing up.
All right, you mentioned that you had some notes that you left upstairs in my office. Is there anything you wanted to cover?
Well, the one thing I wanted to sort of get your perspective on, because you're in the biz.
Yes, I am in the
biz. So I have this perspective about the D.C. food scene.
Yes.
And the revitalization, although it feels weird calling it a revitalization because I'm not sure it was ever vital.
No.
It couldn't be like revitalized if it wasn't. But it's vital now.
Yes, if you like lobbyists and steak.
Right. Red meat and fat white dudes. That's your spot.
And Morton's Steakhouse.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The prime rib.
But so DC did not have a rich food history at all. And it was a weirdly, I think a lot of that just has to do with that there's that transient quality of the political element of DC, that the sort of the infrastructure of that city comes and goes every 4 or 6 or 2 years.
That's right. So one thing, and this is why I'm interested in getting your perspective, my observation is that like the demographic of the city has changed quite a bit. We got a big infusion of youth that coincided with Obama being elected, working for government became cool again.
Yes.
For a little while. And so the city got super young and it's still sort of trending in that direction. And young folks are staying and starting families in D.C. And I don't know how that correlates or if it does at all to the food scene.
Well, I definitely think so. I mean, I think, like I said, it's just a much more sort of vibrant, sort of dynamic city than it was 20, 30 years ago. And I think the restaurants definitely sort of embrace that and reflect that. Andrew Knowlton, our restaurant critic here, is a huge D.C. fan, and that totally surprises him. I mean, 2 years ago, he named Rose's Luxury his best new restaurant in America.
I'm aware of that.
He's very big on D.C. right now. Like, he's bullish to the point where it's just odd. For having grown up there, and, you know, it was Blackie's House of Beef and Yen Ching Palace.
Right.
And I remember when the McDonald's opened up at Mazza Gallery on Jennifer Street. That was, like, big news of the city. I mean, literally, that was like, wow, there's a McDonald's on our, you know, street.
Yeah. Well, and I grew up in Silver Spring. I can't think of a single instance when my parents would put us all, me and my two brothers and my sister, in the car and drive us downtown.
No.
To go out to dinner.
There was no downtown.
There was no downtown to go to, and there was no destination worth going to that was affordable for our family.
Yeah, you know, now you literally do have a Momofuku and those sort of things in D.C. around the arena and just the Capitol Hill area. So I think it's awesome, and you're seeing that on a lot of cities that we write about. Places like Pittsburgh now have really interesting food scenes that just you never would have thought were the case.
Can we talk about that for 10 seconds?
Sure.
Because I might invite myself up. There's a certain golf tournament that's going on there.
Oh, the U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open is in Pittsburgh.
Oakmont.
That's exactly right, which is about 25 minutes outside the city of Pittsburgh. If I make my way up to Pittsburgh, tell me two or three joints that I gots to hit.
Well, one of them is Bar Marco. That's correct. That's where I went. It's in an old firehouse in that sort of old part of town where there's like some Italian markets and stuff. Super nice people, and it's kind of just like cool young couple that runs. I want to say young couple. I think it's a couple. I don't know, but it's like Bar Marco is awesome. I would definitely go there. And then another one that's cool, Morcia, kind of like a Spanish style tapas bar, but I kind of something always cheesy saying tapas bar sounds so 1990s or whatever. But this is like done well.
Sure.
Those are the two obvious places,
okay.
I think, to go right now. You know, I've never done the Primanti's sandwich. That's the one with the
I know it.
French fries
that's
and
the
everything.
Most famous thing. I've had it at the football stadium.
Okay,
I went there for a hockey game. I went there for the Caps played the Penguins in the Winter Classic a handful of years
ago.
And had Primanti's it at the stadium.
I love the note. Well, that's also, you also get that in like in Greece in or wherever or in Europe when you get the souvlaki. So like the grilled lamb on the pita bread, and they'll put the French fries in there with the yogurt sauce.
I'm getting hungry.
Late night walking around, grabbing one of those. You're like, oh, that's so good.
Yes.
So I don't know. So Pittsburgh, I think, I just think it's so cool now. So many like these sort of second cities, if you will, that aren't New York or LA or Chicago or whatever, now have just really sort of vibrant food scenes. And, you know, part of that is just people coming back, chefs moving back from New York or whatever. Also, the internet, everyone knows what everyone's doing immediately right now. Everyone can go onto Instagram and see what's happening. But I think it's great for the people of America. You know, there's good coffee, there's good bars, there's good everything everywhere.
Right.
All right, Joe. Before we let you go, we're doing our lightning round.
All right.
Kind of sports and other things related.
Let's do it.
Wings or nachos?
Oh, wings by far. Ten times wings.
At the stadium. We'll say Bud Light, or as the kids say, Bud Heavy.
Oh.
Or are you a craft beer guy?
No, I'm definitely a light beer kind of guy. The beer in the stadiums is so good now. What I tend to drink, and I'm willing to receive the punch in the face for this, everybody has Stella. Stella in the can is great, and it's big, and it stays cold because of the way the can is. So I'll drink Bud Light. Don't get me wrong, but. Yeah.
I like those like aluminum bottles they have like in Vegas. You're in the pool.
Right.
So American. And God bless America. barbecued ribs or Korean barbecue?
Oh, wow. Do I have to choose?
You got to choose, yeah.
F-bomb. I'm going to go ribs. Barbecue ribs. I adore Korean barbecue. Another great, rich, ethnic heritage in the D.C. area, not in D.C. proper. Tremendous Korean restaurants, especially Annandale, Virginia.
Yeah, Northern Virginia.
Yep, exactly.
Washington Nationals or the football team of Washington?
God. It's always the football team of Washington. It's like, it's in my, it was in my blood.
Yeah.
20 years of this asshole owner.
Can't root for the Redskins. It's
the most cynical thing. But, you know, there's nothing that quite rivals the feeling that the city gets. And this is, I get caught up in it, and it brings me back. It's a reminiscence kind of thing. They made the playoffs this most recent season. They won the NFC East this most recent season. The vibe in the city is so crazy great.
They are a galvanizing force.
Galvanizing, unifying,
But we grew up when they were amazing. They went to four Super Bowls when we were teenagers.
Right.
Which is crazy.
I know.
And Joe Gibbs won three of them with three different quarterbacks. He went to four Super Bowls with four different quarterbacks.
So
that's nuts.
That's our legacy. And so it's hard, you know. I love the Nationals. It's the thing I go see more than anything else is the Nats. I love them. I love them this season.
Hot dog or Italian sausage?
Italian sausage, again, kind of in my DNA, but I adore the hot dogs,
What do you
too.
Put on them?
On which?
Sausage.
I'm a very light dresser of the sausage, because if a well-done sausage, that crackle, when you pop the skin and the juice comes out.
Juice out, the geyser.
That's the dressing that you need. Yeah. So I give a thin sliver of the spiciest mustard I can find, just to add to the heat.
Yeah. Well, this is going back to the 80s. Georgie Mirazon or Manute Bol?
Oh, two nears and dears. You know, I have a Manute Bol jersey in my house, a game-worn Golden State Warriors Manute Bol jersey sitting in my dresser drawer right now. So I obviously have love.
I think you just answered that question.
Well, I have love for Manute, but you know what? Georgie, the gentle giant, you know. I'll say Manute because he's passed, so I'll rest in peace, Manute. But Georgie's right there.
Cake or yeast donut?
Oh. I'm going to say cake. I like that it eats more like a meal. I mean, that's kind of the stage of life.
You just branded it. Masters or U.S. Open?
I love the Masters.
We haven't talked punk rock. Fugazi or Rites of Spring?
So, why do I have to pick one?
Because it's the lightning round.
Yeah. So, Rites of Spring, because that's who we had in our era. Those were the big, you know. I've always liked everything that Ian's put out Embrace Ian McKay, right? Minor Threat fame, and then really Fugazi fame. He became famous from Fugazi.
Ginormous,
right?
Yeah. All right, last question, which I think you already answered, but we'll try it again. Butter or olive oil?
I adore butter, and I'm looking very forward to the day that the allergist gives my kid the all clear so I can have it in my fridge again. But right now it's olive oil. God bless the olive oil.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Joe House, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
All right, that was Joe House, and you can check in with House on his weekly golf podcast, Shack House, with golf writer Jeff Shackelford. And now let's talk kids and cooking with Carlo Lolly Music and Jenny Rosenstrack. All right, Jenny Rosenstrack, welcome to One World Trade Center.
Nice to be here.
So, Jenny, let's run down the kids. You've got, what do you got?
I have a 14-year-old now, Phoebe, and I have a 12-year-old, Abby. And, you know, they're like aged out of all these day camps now. So we're in this kind of middle ground where we have lots of time in the summer or lots of like long stretches of time. We were patching together some camps, but it's kind of tricky. So we have
you got the calendar.
We have the calendar.
All right, Carl, you've got two boys with really good names.
Two boys, Cosmo and Leo. 12 and 6, big spread on those two. And very different types of eaters. Leo's my savory guy. He'll eat lentils and yogurt for breakfast. And Cosmo would eat like...
Is he summering like in the Greek islands or something? Or
I don't know what it is. He's never been a big sweets guy. He was the only kid I ever saw in my life who would just put down a cupcake halfway through and be like, I'm done. And then along comes the second person who, if I gave him a jar of honey and a spoon, he would eat the entire thing. Like, just no problem.
My son Marlon, who's 8 and a half, the other day we were at like some coffee place or something, and he was I had to stop him from literally grabbing a packet of sugar.
Exactly.
He was just gonna just open that up and just pour it in his mouth.
Totally.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Cosmo has asked me like, can I have this sugar packet? And I'm like, no. But
all right, so my feeling is summertime, like, you want your kids to have fun, and I do think it's interesting because like your kids are theoretically out active, running around. I know your kids play soccer, Jenny, and active kids. You want them to stay hydrated and be healthy, but it's also summer and you want them to have ice cream and kind of a little of each. And so let's talk about what we're feeding our kids or what we're at least trying to get our kids to eat this summer. And starting off in the healthiest notes, Carla, what can you get your kids to eat that sort of fuels them throughout the day?
I'm lucky in that even though the sweet guy likes his sweets, he does eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, crunchy stuff. So there's a lot of cucumbers.
No mushy.
He doesn't like the mushy.
No.
He'll be like
I still don't like mushy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, mushy is a word. Yeah. So I do try to pack a lot of crunchy veg and
like
strawberries, cucumbers especially. Uh-huh. But he'll wreck like a bowl of sugar snap peas.
Let's be specific here. So you mean just a bowl, like blanched or cold, like just raw?
Raw. He really likes sour also. Uh-huh. So if I squeeze lemon and put salt on virtually any crunchy raw vegetable, he will eat it.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Including green beans, sugar snap peas, especially cucumber. But if I gave him zucchini, he would definitely just spit it out.
Yeah. Also, raw zucchini. He needs that.
And then there's a lot of sort of loading up things that are not totally healthy, but a smoothie, for example, if I put, I usually will throw in a quarter cup of oats or half a cup of oats into any smoothie I'm making, and it just adds protein and fiber, and it keeps them full longer, hopefully, or I'll sub instead of juice, I'll do coconut water. So
what else is going in the smoothie?
Mango, strawberries, raspberries.
And you just buy the frozen kind at the store?
Both. Yeah. You know, if we have fresh, I'll throw it in there, and then if it's mostly protein and healthy dairy, I throw some oats in there. Then I don't feel bad about putting, you know, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup or honey in it. It's like all, you know, 80-20.
80-20 meaning?
80% healthy and 20% whatever. And that if you use
good,
that.
It's a good goal for life.
Yeah, if you use that like in a meal or in a day or as like a general philosophy, I think it works out.
We're like more, I would say. We're 80-20 most of the year, and then I would say in the summer it's more like 60-40. We go just, I mean, I don't know what it is about just having no structure. We just complete the snack time usually, you know, they don't have a school day to regulate these things. So we're just, it's like we're eating all day long. It's crazy.
I mean, I have a kid who really needs structure. And on those days, if you don't implement some sort of structure on your own, the wheels come off.
Yes.
Or can come off. So like, so A, how do you create structure? And B, what's your healthiest thing your kids will eat?
Well, to create structure, I mean, in the summer, especially when we have sort of these long afternoons and on the weekend and kind of nothing to do, for better or for worse, we use food as kind of like the incentive to be active. So we'll be like, let's, you know, we know where they're going to end up eating donuts or ice cream. So we'll say, let's walk to the farmer's market and get them active a little bit. And then, or if it's in the, we'll go to the city and walk over the Brooklyn Bridge for soup dumplings or something. And we don't feel so bad about it. Yeah. If it's like something, I mean, soup dumplings and donuts are not terrible, but it's like
going to the gym after work so you can then go out.
Exactly.
And drink a lot.
Yes. We just, it like cancels it out somehow. But in terms of healthy foods, just during the day, we do a lot of the crunchy vegetable thing too in our house, but my older one will eat any vegetable pretty much without any, she doesn't need salt or anything. My little one, she's 12 years old. She's probably not that little anymore. She's really into crunchy vegetables like sugar snap peas and cucumbers and she needs a dressing now in her lunch. So we pack these little tiny ranch dressing things.
Because ranch is the best thing ever.
It is the greatest thing ever. And we, you know, I've had something against bottled dressings for so long just because I've been so used to making my own. But now her best friend has discovered Trader Joe's organic ranch. And it's like, it's so funny. She drinks it by the bottle. So we just put that, we put that in her lunch and none of the vegetables come back.
So I have a ranch-ish dip that I do a lot. It's usually Greek yogurt. We always have buttermilk in the house because I'm always making the BA's best buttermilk pancakes.
Old school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Greek yogurt, maybe a little bit of sour cream if I have it, and then some buttermilk to loosen it up to like dip consistency, lemon juice or lime juice, and then salt, and then secret ingredient, granulated garlic. Kids love dips.
And then what about, are you a smoothie family?
We are, yes. Andy, my husband, he's a big fan of, he's up before all of us and he generally makes a smoothie for the house. My older daughter loves them. I love them. Abby, not so much, but we do when the strawberries are good, like right now, what I do all day long and what Phoebe loves are just, we just fill up a glass with fresh strawberries and then pour almond milk in and whirl it. But then, you know, you can do it portion size.
Plain almond milk or like vanilla almond milk?
Vanilla. And it's so good.
It's
It's just so easy too. It's not like a million different frozen things. Right. And it's just, I can't do multi-ingredients in the morning.
Do you guys feel you need a Vitamix to make smoothies?
I didn't have one for 12 years and I've had one now for 6. And I would say I wasted 12 years of my life.
Wow.
I hated my other blender. I won't name what kind it was, but like when it would go on, I wanted to die.
Yeah.
And the Vitamix was the best thing I ever bought myself.
I've recently gotten into smoothies because I started going to the gym and I have one. They put peanut butter in the smoothie. And
I do that too.
Oh, that's just like, because it gives it that nice salty sort of richness that if you just do the fruit, you're kind of missing that sort of base. Mm-hmm. And that sort of blew
that's
my mind.
That's the other monkey on a date. That's our other regular rotation smoothie at home.
Monkey on a date.
This is another strategy. If
name
you
them.
Give it a cool name, then it's like create
branding.
Some.
Brand. Yeah, fully branded. Yeah.
Monkey on a date is a couple dates, which they're sweet, so that's good for humans, but also they have potassium, they have fiber. It's a whole food. I'm like down with dates. Love date. Couple dates, banana, very large scoop of peanut butter, and then whatever liquid, basically. It could be coconut water. It could be milk. It could be just not fruit. You just don't want to go in a fruity place. And oats.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And they'll destroy that. And
so
that's like
funny.
A meal, too.
Yeah,
yeah, totally.
Feels satisfied.
So in the Rappo Buck household, we do, as Marlon says, healthy popsies. So either you buy, so Simone buys the ones that they have like beet and carrot and ginger and like they're like red ones. And then there's like apple, kale, whatever ones. And then sometimes she'll just make popsicles out of like leftover smoothies and you put those in the cool mold. And then the kids think they're eating a popsicle. Marlon's interesting because he knows, like he's a difficult eater. It's a ongoing struggle, but he also sort of knows he should be eating healthier stuff. So he, after dinner, he's like, I'm going to have a healthy popsy now. knowing that he's going to have dessert after that.
Ah.
Yeah, but he knows, like, he should eat a healthy Popsy. And we also do the thing where we do pureed cauliflower in his mac and cheese,
mm-hmm.
which he knows we're putting something in there. He knows it kind of smells funny, but he still eats it.
Right.
Because he kind
it's
of, like,
got enough.
Yeah. He just knows he should. And I think it's that thing of, like, your kids are smarter than you think they are sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he knows enough to know that he should be eating some sort of vegetables. He knows he doesn't eat enough, so whatever he has to do. So, yeah, we have a lot of pureed cauliflower, mac and cheese, and a lot of healthy Popsies in the Rappaport house. So we have the healthiest snacks. What about dinner? What are our go-to dinners?
In the summer?
Summer dinners.
A lot of pasta in my house.
Really?
Yeah.
But even if it's hot out?
Cosmo will eat pasta literally year round. I hate the word picky, but he's a selective eater.
Particular.
He's particular. He likes what he likes, and then he doesn't want to have anything to do with the other stuff. Kid loves grilled squid.
Really?
Loves.
So you'll fire up the grill?
I will fire up the grill and cook squid really quickly so it's nice and charred on the outside, and he'll eat those actually and let it like a som, like a Korean som. He'll put it in the lettuce.
What?
And crunch, he will eat that all night. And he'll put rice in there.
That's
the
amazing.
Squid.
So you
and
grill the squid
wrapper.
And then slice them up?
Yeah.
Squid, that's cool. We'll do a lot of burgers. And we go both ways. Like, Simone will often buy, like, the good grass-fed beef, and then she'll grind up carrots and sort of mix it in with the beef, which I'm kind of like, meh. But Marlon's generally cool with it. And then if I'm making the burgers, I'm going out and buying not grass-fed beef, and I'm buying the Martin's potato rolls. And, like, his friend came over the other day, and I was like, I'm making you guys smash burgers. And I had brought the skillet and smashed them in there, put the American cheese on, and, like, his friend's head literally exploded.
Wow.
He's not here anymore. His head exploded. We had to call the ambulance. But it was like, he's like, this is the best burger I've ever had. And I'm like, you're damn right it's the best burger you ever had. And Marlon, meanwhile, just thinks that's a regular burger.
Right.
I'm like, dude, you don't know how good you've got it. So he's a burger kid. He will only eat it if it has cheese.
Oh.
He's like, oh, yeah, a hamburger without cheese, that's gross.
Really?
I'm like, what are you talking? Like, that makes no sense, but.
American cheese?
Yeah, and we'll grill him. He's fine with the grilled burger. He won't eat hot dogs, though, for some reason. Like, that's just so arbitrary. Like, loves a cheeseburger, will not even address a hot dog. Yeah, so that's our protein vehicle, generally. Rosenstruck, what about your kids? What's your go-to dinner? Fun dinner.
You know, we have, I mean, I've probably written, like, you know, 500 posts on my blog and with as many recipes. And if you ask my kids what they want for dinner, especially in the summer, but pretty much all year long, it's tacos. And so we basically have some form of taco almost, like, every night. Fish tacos, like, we'll do, if it's like a weekend, we'll have the farmer's market, so we'll have a good fish guy get some mahi-mahi and, you know, just like a really simple grill, and then put cabbage and pickled onions and... Very basic, nothing complicated.
Two questions.
Yes, go.
Well, first question, corn or flour?
Corn.
Oh, the kids will eat corn. They're down with corn.
Yeah. Well, I like corn so much more that I just kind of make them do it. I think they actually like flour better, but
no,
but do I don't know. I do like the size.
Yeah. Second question is, do you ever do the fried fish tacos where you batter them and fry them? Like,
no, I don't. But my kids like them so much more than the healthy kind.
Yeah, that's because they're so much better.
They're so much better.
And the creamy slaw. Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. With
it's
a
really
little
good.
Lime wedges. Yeah.
But no, then we'll do like, we'll grill shrimp on, you know, we have one of those grill baskets, which kind of changed our lives, especially with things like, because the skewer and the shrimp is just
pain in the ass.
Total deal breaker.
You know what the grill baskets are also great for is the, which everyone likes
asparagus.
Now, the, well, asparagus, mm-hmm. yes, but also the shishito or padron peppers.
Yes.
That you throw on there, you grill them up over high heat, then you squirt some lime juice or salt or whatever old chilies on there. Mm-hmm, That's a great cocktail snack. And what about, what sort of non-fish tacos will the kids do?
They will do we'll just grill a pork tenderloin mm-hmm. that's been marinating all day and maybe throw some peaches on and have some peaches with the, I mean, it's like, you don't even need the taco really. You have pork with peaches,
But wait, so you're doing the grilled peaches in the taco?
Yeah. Or grilled peach with some tomato if it's the right season, you know, you can mix in the peaches.
You can make a grilled peach salsa if you want, like, a little minced up onion and cilantro
and lime
juice.
Yeah. We do it with pineapple too. We grill pineapple But the kids like pork and peaches together. For some reason, that kind
it's
of stuff.
It's a good combo. Yeah.
So whenever I throw a pork on there, there's peaches on there too.
I've done that before. Grilled, like,
doing a grilled pineapple salsa grill, and then like literally just throw it with onions, cilantro, chilies, lime juice, the basic, and mix it up and serve it with whatever sort of meaty, fishy thing you're doing.
Yeah.
Is a good one. Wow, I'd really like some tacos now. Do you do do you do beans or anything with them? The kids do beans?
Not really. I do beans. I love beans with them, but if that's one of the options to put on the taco, they'll forego it.
I don't know. We've talked about this. I always have a can of Goya black beans.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And then that with some sauteed onions and garlic. Yeah. Pour that in there. Yep. Just let it just chill out for a while.
Mice and beans.
Mice. That's another kid thing. What's a mice and beans?
What's
I like that.
It's just rice and beans. It's just a funnier way to say it.
Just call them, like, is it some cool like thing? No, it's just a different way to say it. Mice and beans.
Yeah.
All right. So what about dessert time? So what the kids? It's summertime. Ice cream truck? You're in Brooklyn, so does the ice cream truck come along?
Oh, the ice cream. It's like the Pavlovian call of the ice cream truck. You just hear the bell going, and then both boys' heads will just whip around. It's like a completely nonverbal communication. Like, we hear the truck, and then they both look at me and wait for some sort of a signal. And like, if I nod, then they're out the door.
But if you say no, is there like a major meltdown? Or is there a revolt?
It's really hard to say no. The only time I ever say no is if it's daytime and we haven't even had lunch yet.
Yeah.
That's like literally the only time I would say no to the ice cream truck. Or if Cosmo's been bad and been warned, like, you're not having dessert.
What are the boys like?
They're really into the pop right now. But Cosmo's a Rocket Pop.
Oh, Rocket Pop. The red, white, and blue
ones?
He
loves sorbet. He loves Rocket Pop. And Leo would definitely get, you know, the chocolate one that has the chocolate core and like the
chocolate éclair.
Yeah.
What about you, Jen?
We're big Good Humor people in our house. Even if we're not at the truck, we usually have a box of, we're like, it's all about kind of recreating what our ice cream was like as kids, you know? So we'll have like the ream of flavor ices too for if they're lucky, a month or two. And then there's a raging debate over, you know, what the best Good Humor bar is. It's Andy's all about the toasted almond.
I love the toasted almonds.
So good.
But that's such like a 45-year-old guy thing
that's
to say.
What I like. That's what I like when I'm
eight. See what I mean about raging debate?
You're either going strawberry shortcake or you're going to chocolate.
The kids are strawberry shortcake. See, this is what happens. Exactly what happens.
I went to a dinner party when I was home visiting friends in D.C. a few years ago. And it was like a nice dinner party. And it was like all sorts of nice food and big dinner table. And it's like 10 of us. And at the end, they cleared the table and the hostess just brought out a big tray of Good Humor bars. Just
genius.
In the bags, just all three of those flavors, a mound of them. And everyone just lost their shit. They're like,
awesome.
Oh my God, this is the best thing ever. You have a bunch of 40-year-olds just pouncing on this thing. And everyone had like three of them.
That's the best.
And I was like, that was genius.
Yeah.
All right. Well, wow. Okay. So we got some healthy stuff, a lot of not healthy stuff, but it's 80-20.
It's 80-20.
It's an 80-20 summer. Jenny's, she's lobbying for 60-40.
Yeah, of course.
I think we can, how about we settle for 70-30?
I guess I'm
okay
with
get the kids there.
We can get them there, I think.
Thanks for coming, Carla Lolly Music and Jenny Rosenstrack.
This podcast has been brought to you by Belle Cushing and Carrie Polis, with editing by Mitra Kaboli and additional help from Christina Che and Lily Sermon. Our theme music is by Valerie and the Greedies. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us anything about this or any episode, please email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com.